Hey, welcome back. For this one, I spoke with Christian Neve, CEO of Riot, a Swiss-based Bitcoin heating company who have designed a very funky looking product. I hope you have fun with the show. I know I had. Enjoy. All right. Welcome back to Hash Rate Up. Third episode after the break. Last time we talked about pools with Augustin. Today we're going to talk about waste heat. And for that, I have the absolute pleasure to welcome Christian from Riot, CEO and founder of Riot from Switzerland, here with me today. Welcome, Christian. Nice to have you on.
Thank you, Jesse, for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Been a long time. I wanted to have you on last time around already, but that never panned out. So happy to get you on now. I think timing is good. You guys are still around, made it through the bear market. So yeah, let's see what exciting things you guys have going on. Before we get into it though, we are at block height 891813. Quickly checking hash price at the time of recording. We are at 42. Down in the pits again, actually 4170. So it's not getting easier. And I think hash rate growth also with these tariffs going on is absolutely crazy right now. And one Zeta hash might be on pause for a bit. Christian, do you follow this stuff at all? The tariffs and global trade, is that important to you guys or not really? This episode is sponsored by Hashbranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with Hashbranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100, visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order.
I mean, I follow it, but not like very deeply. It's something I read when I go to bed in the evening. But we have too many things to do at the moment with product development and also selling our product in the end. So, of course, it's something that it's interesting to know about, but it's not influencing us that much at the moment because we're not selling to the US. We are producing currently in Europe. So therefore, for us, it's not a big deal at the moment. Yeah. And it's going back and forth. Maybe sometimes I even miss if the tariffs are on or off at the moment. So, but yeah, it's good to know about. But yeah, I'm not that worried currently.
Understood. We're also both standing at our desks. So we're doing this podcast standing up. Let's see what the energy is like. Christian, to set the tone, introduce Riot, what you guys do, how you got to it, since you're here for the first time, give the listeners that don't know about your brand a bit of a rundown of what Riot is and how you came into this business.
Yeah. So yeah, we are Riot from Switzerland, so not to mix up with the Riot from the US. Our name comes from Wolf Riot, which is actually the hottest star in the universe. And that's actually also describing our story. So what we do is heat recovery. We started the project actually 2 years ago, but we started the company like 1.5 years ago. So the first phase was bootstrapping, building a prototype on how can we use the waste heat from Bitcoin mining to heat a complete home, a family home, apartment buildings, and so on. Because, yeah, as you might know, in Europe, we have increasing energy prices. Most of the heating system are water-based in Switzerland or also in total Europe, which is maybe a bit different to the US. So you have water pipes going through your house, floor heating, radiators. And our idea was how can we bring that energy, that waste heat into the house so that from a living perspective, nothing changes. But you know, there is a miner in the basement or somewhere mining Bitcoin for you and generating the heat. And that was our goal. And we started with like really try and error. And, but yeah, after like a few months, we had the first prototype up and running. We presented that at the Swiss Bitcoin conference. At that time, people thought, oh yeah, that looks cool. It's funny what the guys are doing. The second phase, like investing, was investing a lot into the design, which we presented then in Innsbruck back then. And people were like, okay, these guys, they are serious about it. And yeah, since end of last year, we are actively selling the product. And we have now 10 units running and have another 20 units now sold that are also currently in production. So yeah, we are up and running with the units. We have the first customer and yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's great to see the product now finally with real customers in their house. Yeah, bringing some heat to the floor, to the shower, wherever you need the heat. Yeah.
I pulled it up here for those listening. This is a great time to switch to the YouTube channel to see the screen share that I just pulled up. This heater looks very futuristic, Christian. I know you've had some past experience with Tesla, if I'm not mistaken. That's, I think, what I remember.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that what inspired the design, or why did you choose such a futuristic looking piece of equipment?
Yeah. I mean, when we started the company, for me, I never thought about working in heating. I didn't know anything about heating 2 years ago, to be honest. And if someone would have told me, yeah, you're going to work in heating, I would have said, yeah, come on, it's never going to happen. So I'm more coming from the marketing and sales side. So I'm also not the deep tech guy. But I was working in a watch industry. I was working in some other lifestyle areas. And in 2014, I was also working for Tesla as one of their early employees here in Switzerland. And I learned a lot from Tesla. And I love brands. I love if they have a story in general, products, if they have a story. And for me, it was clear, if we create a new heating system that is using a different technology, we also need to think heating differently. So in today's time, a heating system is not interesting. It doesn't look nice. It's somewhere, as mentioned, in the basement. So I said, okay, let's create a nice design. Let's create a story like the one that I mentioned with the star. The riot should look like it could be a part of a spaceship. It should have some kind of a window that you can see inside what is happening inside, also connected to Bitcoin, transparency on. So the story, there's a complete story behind it. And my vision is actually that the riot one day won't be in the basement anymore. It will be part of your maybe living room. So instead of a fireplace, you have a riot there, looking at it and knowing it's mining Bitcoin. So that's why it's looking differently. And also because it's attracting people. If you're somewhere at an event, you have the unit there, people come and say, what is this? And we tell them it's a heating system. And everyone is like very surprised. It's a heating system. Yeah, we're using waste heat from computing power. And that's how we also bring new people to Bitcoin, because this topic attracts people. They start to listen. We might not even start with the topic of Bitcoin in the beginning, but it's a good entry point into the topic. And because they're already attracted, they start to listen also about Bitcoin. So I see this also kind of a job for us as Riot to bring more people to Bitcoin with a very tangible project, a very tangible story. You can touch the heat, you can feel the heat. And yeah, that's kind of the story, why it looks different, why there is a story behind. And yeah, I think it's working pretty well so far.
Tell us how you got your first customer. How did you approach them? Were they a friend? Were they into Bitcoin? Were they not? What's the typical sort of customer journey? And as you said, you know, most people, when they hear Bitcoin, it's just like, okay, let's maybe not. You said you had a different entry. Tell us the first customer, what was his or her journey?
I mean, we started to be or go out and speak at, or be present at Bitcoin events, Swiss Bitcoin Conference, Innsbruck, Bitcoin Prague. We went even to Nashville to be everywhere. And that's how we started. We presented a lot the story about Riot. We got a lot of interest from the Bitcoin industry or the Bitcoin people. But to be honest, the first customer were not even Bitcoiners. Even today, it's not the hardcore Bitcoiner that is currently buying our product. It's more the innovator. So I see a lot of similarities to Tesla there. Back then in 2014, people that bought a Tesla were kind of the innovators. They wanted to be a bit different. They liked the technology. That's why they wanted to put a statement kind of. That's why they bought a Tesla back then when I was selling the cars. And I see a lot of similarities now with us, with Riot. It's we maybe out of these 30, 35 units we sold, maybe I would consider 2 to 3 as like true Bitcoiners. The others are open to Bitcoin. They are interested to it. They might even invested something back in the days into Bitcoin, but they are more on the innovator side. So the first customer was actually me myself in my house. I installed the first prototype. But that's not really a customer. But the real true customer was actually a 72-year-old man. That was interested in what we are doing. He read about us in the newspaper from the city where I lived because they brought some news about what we are doing. And he was actually the first, like what the one was talking to us. But the first installation was with Tobias Reichmuth. He is an innovator from Switzerland. He's one of the Shark Tank Switzerland investors. So I got to know him like 1.5 years ago, and he's a Bitcoiner for many years. And when I told him, I had the chance to pitch him Riot. And when he heard what we are doing, he said, okay, I'm building a new home in St. Moritz in the Swiss mountains. And I want the first number one Riot running in that house. And yeah, we made a video about it and everything. But he was like the first installation customer, but the first like unknown normal customer that I would consider was actually surprisingly a 72-year-old man. Yeah.
Hash Rate Up is sponsored by solomining.de, the place to buy open source home and solo mining devices like the BitX. With about 20 watts of usage, these solo mining devices are perfect to play the lottery from home or from the office. Get 5% off with the code HASHRATEUP. Thanks to the legends at solomining.de for sponsoring the content. And tell us economically, how does it work and what's needed to connect the Riot? I'm understanding you guys use hydro cooling. So I'm assuming you need cold water in to cool and hot water out for the circuit in the house. But give us a bit more technological detail. What ASICs are you using inside that we can look at through the glass? And how does it work economically from a customer point of view and for you as a company?
So our main product at the moment, the signature product, is the Riot One, the one that you just showed. We are using immersion cooling in that unit. So we have a tank of two miners on the left side, on the right side, and in the middle we have the outflow. So the miners are immersed in a liquid. It's called BitCool, the one that we are using from a company from the US. So when the house needs heat, the miner starts to mine Bitcoin, gets hot, the liquid gets hot, the hot liquid rises. It's like a physical law. It's flowing over the lid, and we pump it through a heat exchanger to transfer the heat from the primary circuit inside the Riot into the secondary circuit of the house. So you have an inlet and an outlet on the backside, like any heating system. You have an internet connection, the LAN cable, and you have the electricity plug. And that's basically it. So it's pretty simple. We have two pumps inside, one for the primary circuit, one for the secondary circuit, because we control the temperature also with the backflow from the house. So the challenge for developing the Riot One was how to dimension everything and how to control everything so that you get out the maximum of heat without overheating the miner. So that was the big challenge that took us some time. But we found the sweet spot to get out like 64 to 65 degrees Celsius max, which is perfect for a house. And we use Watts miners, the immersion line they produced. It's M56 and upwards, M56, S+, S++, M66, and so on. Currently, we are mainly using the M56S Plus because based on price and hash rate, for the time normally a miner is running, if you just heat, it's the best economics you can get from the price perspective as well and the hash rate.
Okay, so those are immersion machines, but help me understand, the cooling still comes from cold water?
The backflow, actually just the backflow from the house. So the backflow is cooling the miner. We don't have any other cooling system inside because you can imagine that like 50 degrees of hot water goes into the house and the backflow might be like 20 degrees less, like 30 degrees, something like that. Or that's maybe a bad example, but normally it depends. If you have radiators, it's a bit higher. If you have floor heating, it's lower. And therefore the backflow of the house cools down the miner. So if the backflow, we have different possibilities to control also the system. Either we have temperature sensors in the buffer tank that then brings the heat to the floor heating and the radiators. So the buffer, that's the easiest installation basically, because the riot just heats into a buffer tank. And if the temperature reaches like 65 degrees, it turns off. The benefit of using a buffer tank is that we have very stable uptime of the miner, which is from an economical perspective for the miner, it's the best case. Yeah. But we also have the possibility to install it as a complementary system. So you still have your maybe oil or gas heating system and you use the ride as a complementary system. But the oil and gas heating system doesn't have a buffer tank. The heat goes directly into the floor or into the radiators because oil and gas, you can just turn on and off like a light, or a lighter. Yeah. So therefore they don't need the buffer tank, but then you need to control the miner by power. So you go up and down depending on the heat demand. Still works. It's not as efficient as when you heat into a buffer tank. But for example, in my house, we installed it exactly that way. But also we can control it over the backflow. So if the backflow gets too hot from the house, we know that the house is heated up. The house can't consume any heat anymore. So it tells up, okay, Riot, you need to shut down now. We have enough heat.
Or low power mode. No, that's awesome to know. I mean, but what you are still doing is you're heating with electricity effectively, right?
Exactly. So yes. I mean, with waste heat. That's a bit the definition. But yeah, it's energy, electricity into mining, and the waste product is the heat. So we are using the energy twice. That's what we are also communicating, because you anyway have the waste heat. Normally you just blow it out somewhere into the nature, into the air, but we are using the energy twice. But from an efficiency point of view, you are right. We are like, we have an efficiency of almost 1-to-1. That's the benefit of immersion. We lose around 2-3% of the heat inside the heat exchanger. So by transferring the heat from the primary circuit inside the riot to the secondary circuit. Maybe for those that don't know how a heat exchanger works, it's plates next to each other. On one side, you have one liquid. On the other side, you have the other liquid. The liquids don't touch each other, but by being close together, you can transfer the heat. So the heat is still inside the room or inside the case, but you lose still like 2-3% into the secondary circuit. So from that perspective, efficiency is 1-to-1. You're right.
Okay. What alternatives do your customers typically, or your customer base or your target market, you know, don't they have access to cheaper forms of power than electricity to heat the home? What is the sort of electricity situation and pricing in Switzerland today?
So not just in Switzerland, but in all Europe, if you look at the statistics, like 50-55% of the buildings are still heated by oil or gas. So all of them have to go change into a sustainable solution. So what is a sustainable solution? In the end, it's most of the time, it's an air heat pump, which uses air from outside. Through electricity, you compress the air and you generate heat. The other solution is geothermal heat pumps. You drill a hole into the ground and you get the heat from the earth. This is very efficient, but it's crazy expensive, drilling the hole especially. But both solutions still need electricity to generate the heat. They need it. They talk about the COP, which is kind of like the efficiency degree of such solutions. So they talk about for air heat pumps, 1 to 3, 1 kilowatt hour of electricity in, 2 to 3 kilowatt hours of heat out. That's the air heat pump. The geothermal is 1 to 5. So even more efficient. The point is, most buildings are still heated with air heat pump if they change to a sustainable solution, because it's cheaper when you install it. But the point is, when it gets really, really cold outside, it needs more electricity to still generate heat out of that air. So the efficiency degree drops. And when do you need to heat the most? When it's really cold, right? So therefore, and that's the one point. The second point is both solutions just use electricity to generate heat, one dimensional. So, and they only cost you money. So what we are saying is we use the energy twice, as mentioned. And of course, short term, you have higher costs when you use electricity from the grid. We can talk about solar system maybe after, but let's just take the example of using electricity from the grid. So you use you have higher costs in short term for running the unit, but on a mid to long term, because you get Bitcoin, and of course this is the unknown, where is Bitcoin going, but still you generate the value. And that value can increase in value, that Bitcoin. And therefore, if we look at the hash price on the average of the last 5 years, that's how we calculate on how much someone can get. I mean, in the end, it's still a guessing. No one has a glass ball and can see the future. But you somehow need to calculate it based on the past. So what we do is we took the hash price of the last 5 years, the average hash price, and in our calculator, you can say, okay, I'm super bullish for Bitcoin. And then it takes like 95% of the hash price, of the average hash price of the last 5 years for the calculation. You can say, I'm optimistic. And then it takes like 80% of the hash price, the average. Or you can say, I'm just positive. And then it takes 75% of the hash price. And based on that calculation, people get around 18 cents back per kilowatt hour they heat. So, for example, Switzerland, we have now 30 cents average electricity price in Switzerland. If you use an air heat pump, if you get the efficiency of 1 to 3, you heat with 10 cents, you get 1 kilowatt, you get like 1 kilowatt hour of heat. With us, you pay around 12 cents if we reach that price again of Bitcoin. So if you don't reach the efficiency of the air heat pump, and it's in Switzerland especially, it's possible because it gets sometimes really cold, you're going to pay more for the heating, and you didn't generate any value. So our customer are basically investing into Bitcoin over their heating bill. And then they decide by themselves, when do I sell the Bitcoin? Do I even ever sell the Bitcoin? Or I just keep it and I keep going like that?
And how do they have exposure to the Bitcoin? Do they choose their pool? Do they just have a wallet address that they give you and you have the hash rate? Is it a mix? How does that work?
No, at the moment we are selling the unit. So 100% of the return goes to the customer. What we do is we want to be kind of the one-stop shop for them. So they buy the unit. Most people are not that technical with Bitcoin, so our current customers. So what we do is we set up for them the pool. Currently, we are working with Brains because for us, we have a few criteria that are very important. So transparency, low fees, and low limits of payments. So you can get your Bitcoin already at a really low limit, because if you mine just while you heat, you don't get like one Bitcoin. You know, sometimes you get a few sets per month. So like, yeah, a few thousand sets per month, and you want to get access to the Bitcoin quickly. So we set up for them the mining pool. We give them access, of course, to their mining pool account. And but if they want to change to a different mining pool, they can do by themselves. We can help them. I have people in my team that are very deep into the Bitcoin mining and the pool topic. So they are analyzing pools from time to time. I think in the future, we will also propose maybe to our customers, hey, it would make sense to maybe change the pool because they have better fees, whatever that's coming up. So we at the moment take care of everything, but we have like one customer, especially at the moment, that already changed the mining pool by himself. So they have all the possibilities they want. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, yeah, this is what we talked about with Augustine about pools the last time as well. There's a lot of competition coming out. And obviously, in this scenario, it's all about trimming fat, right? You don't want to pay too much anyway, because for how many, like the customer that you sold the machine to, have you projected for how many hours in a year they are online?
Yeah, we ask them always on the heat demand of the house. So how many liters of oil they used on average through the last 3 years, for example. Based on that, we can calculate about the heat demand. The average house in Switzerland, for example, has around 11,000 kilowatt hours heat demand. And based on that, you can kind of calculate the return they get. But we always are very transparent about that. So it's nothing we can influence. They are all very well aware of that. But of course, we try to increase the uptime of the miner for them without paying more for electricity. And there, the whole solar topic comes into the game. In Switzerland, also in Germany, we are now delivering the first units to Germany as well, to Austria. You still get some money from the state when you build a solar system. That's why many houses have a solar system on the roof. But the problem is the money that you get back by providing the electricity to the grid is getting less and less. Why? Because all of them are generating power at the same time. So at the moment, for example, in Switzerland, they just now updated the limit. It's now going down to 6 cents. In Germany, it's around 3 cents. Some don't even get any money back from providing green electricity to the grid. So those people are looking for some solution. How can I use my energy? Until now, there was the possibility to put a battery, something like that. Maybe you had a swimming pool, you heated your swimming pool with the electricity. But Bitcoin mining is actually the perfect solution for that. So what we do is we build now a control system that we can use the solar power. Actually, the brain of Riot, it's going to be the future topic from my perspective. So how can I use the energy that I produce most efficiently, of course, to generate heat, but also to generate somehow a return? So what we do is the system checks, okay, does my boiler need heat? The boiler is the water that you take for your shower. You always need that also during summer. Yes, it needs heat. Okay, we mine and provide the heat to the boiler. Does the buffer tank need heat? No, it's summer. We don't need the heat there. Do I have a swimming pool that I maybe can use as a battery pack or energy storage?
Heat sink.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. We provide the heat to the swimming pool. Do I have nothing to provide heat to? Yes. So we use a dry cooler. So we are offering now to our customers a small dry cooler. And we think it's okay to use your own green energy to just mine Bitcoin. Of course, our focus is always to somehow use the heat. But if there's no one taking the heat, it's still better to mine some Bitcoin and get something back instead of providing the energy to the grid that maybe is even overloaded with energy. In Switzerland, they take the energy to pump up the water again to the lakes, which is good. It's kind of energy storage. But sometimes they have so much energy that they let the water run down without actually running the turbines, because they have just too much energy in summer. So there I see actually the big thing for the future. And then, because of the costs we were talking about, I mean, there are many houses that generate the ones around 7,000 to 12,000 kilowatt hours of solar power every summer. So you can double the uptime of your miner. You mine for almost nothing during summer, and you can use that return to also finance your higher costs during winter if you need to still run a Bitcoin miner as your primary heating source also in winter. So it's something that you do all around the year. And I don't know any other solution that provides these possibilities like Bitcoin mining to generate your own return with your power in your property.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all about the uptime, right? Here in Cape Town, South Africa, obviously the demand for heat is almost non-existent, barring 3 months in the year, right? Which is when I power up my S9 to heat my office, leave the room, let it run, annoy the neighborhood, and then come back when it's nice and toasty. But most people think, okay, now I have solar on my roof. I could not use it that much. So now I need to buy the best machine because it's the most efficient. It's going to get me the most return. But that's actually false thinking, right? Because that machine is going to cost you $5,000 or 4,500 euros or whatever for it to reach your doorstep. And you're never really going to make that money back, neither in Bitcoin terms nor in euro or fiat terms, because your uptime is not nearly high enough, right? So what you actually need to do is buy a really old machine that doesn't cost as much, maybe used from somewhere, and use that and somehow fix the automation. And I am fully with you. Like, if you want to install this in housing and you want to increase the uptime, you got to look at cost, right? What's my initial investment and how many hours per year can I run this thing? And then also, how do I automate the runtime? Because now that means you need an inverter system at your house that can tell a smart meter, hey, you know, there's excess power from the solar, switch on the miner. You know, a lot of people here in South Africa, they have that same issue where they have solar on the roof and they want to be independent from the electricity generator or the grid because it's so unreliable or has been unreliable in the past. So what do? They build their solar system for winter time. And then come summer months, they are so overspecced and there's so much excess that now these people are like contacting me, hey, can I not mine Bitcoin with this? People in the like Bitcoin community here. And I said, yeah, you can. But then, you know, if you don't have the automation with these sort of cheap Asian inverters, cheap Chinese inverters, if you don't have the automation, it's going to just be a pain in the ass, right? And the fixing the automation, that's something that I'm trying to do as a hobby right now. With the solutions that I've found is so expensive that, again, economically, it doesn't make sense. It always sort of stays a hobby, right? But what's interesting to me is that you are actually making a business out of this automation in a area of the world where arguably, electricity is more expensive. There's not as much solar availability and so on and so forth. So, that's super interesting to me. I don't know, there's no question there, but I'll pause here.
But you mentioned a very important point. You don't need the newest, most expensive hardware to mine in any case. I mean, in any case now that we are talking about. Also for the heating, you know, I know it's in the nature. It's also from my perspective, you always want the newest model of the iPhone, of the Tesla, whatever. But I think for the heat recovery market, this is going to be a huge topic, like second life market. You know, even now we are not putting the newest machine inside of the ride because it just doesn't make sense. Of course, if someone has something that is up 24/7, it can make sense to put like an M66S Plus But at the moment, it just doesn't make sense. And I see there a big market in the future. So in our calculation for the economics of the riot, we put in a replacement of the miner every 5 years. So it's not mandatory that a customer has to do it, but just to be transparent, to think about the topic of improvement of the technology, we put an amount of money for replacement, like 2,500 for the miner. But I see that maybe in the future we can buy like a good amount of miners. We as a company from maybe even mining farms that had uptime 1 or 2 years, good machines that we get for a very reasonable price, and we can offer our customers an upgrade for also very interesting price in the end. So they do an upgrade, they get some more hash rate, but it's still in an amount that the economics work out. At the same time, you use that second life product or that secondary product, and you give them another life. I mean, there are a lot of people using even S9 still, you know, to do these kind of things. And I think that's amazing. And that's exactly where the heat recovery market comes in.
How do you, I want to talk about the Riot Mini, but before we go there, I want to ask, how do you handle repairs? Like what if a miner breaks? What do you do?
I mean, at the moment, luckily we are not at that point yet. but at the moment we are just sending them back. The good thing is we have a partner company also in Switzerland that is doing greenhousing with also part of Bitcoin mining. So they have a big quantity of miners running. They do repairs also with a repair center. I think it's in Spain. And we are working closely together with them. So we are backing up us a bit with them for the moment. But it's definitely a topic, and it's something that we tell MicroBT. We have a good connection to them and what's minor, that they need a repair center in Europe. And I know that there are some things going on, but I don't know when it finally will come. Hopefully within that time when we might have the first problems. But what we are doing is we are testing every miner for 30 days, because what we learned, like from the mining industry, talking to the people in the mining industry, is that if there are problems in the miners, it's mainly in the first 30 days. So with that, we were pretty, for the first units, we were pretty lucky with following that kind of rule.
That is a smart approach, as I fully agree. I sent MicroBT a few options regarding repair centers. I'm assuming they're probably going to go somewhere in the Nordics with all the heat reuse in Finland going on and these guys using MicroBT models for the district heating there. So that might make the most sense. And yeah, it's still far, but I don't know if it's as far as Spain or not. But yeah, I really hope you don't have those issues. But of course, you know, at some point that's going to happen with scale. I do agree MicroBT builds good machines, and they typically seem to be less fault heavy than the Bitmain machines. But yeah, you gotta be prepared, right? Christian,
yeah, definitely.
The Riot Mini, talk to me about that. What do you guys have developed there?
So why do we build the Riot Mini? So the point is that we talk to a lot of customers that still even already have a heat pump. So maybe they renewed their heating system like 3, 4, 5 years ago. They have a heat pump. Now getting a Riot One that costs between like 14 and 18,000 Swiss francs, depending on US dollar, it's a bit more. But it's too much money, and I totally understand to use that just as a complementary system if you already have some newer sustainable solution. What we also saw is the whole solar topic. So that a lot of people are using the solar system, the PV system, to use their boiler water, or they use an air heat pump boiler, which is a boiler that does the same thing as a heat pump, but just within the boiler system for the water that you use also for the shower. So we said, okay, it would be interesting to have kind of an entry product, a smaller product with maybe lower power, smaller size, easy to implement for those people that still want to get into the topic, but maybe are not ready or just had investments, big investments in their infrastructure. Furthermore, there are a lot of apartments that have their separate boiler for hot water, and that's often heated fully electrical, so with electricity. So why don't they just put a miner in between that, the electricity and the hot water, and also mine some Bitcoin, and the electricity bill won't change. That's why we came up with the idea of the Riot Mini. It has 5 kilowatts of maximum power, which is still a lot. It uses hydro mining. So we use a hydro miner there, the M54, now the newest one. Okay, they already have now also the 64. And yeah, exactly. This is the design. So we are still in the development, but we finalized the tests. So we get out even more temperature. So that there's always a benefit and a plus and a minus on both solutions. I wouldn't say that immersion is better than hydro or vice versa. The benefit of the immersion is the efficiency. So like 2-3% of loss of heat. You have more loss on the hydro side. It's like 5-8%, 5-8%, but you reach higher temperatures. So you can go up to even 72, 75 degrees, which is very interesting, especially when you're on the heat side. Furthermore, I expect lower maintenance on the immersion side because you don't need to change the liquid. You can run that because it's in a closed circuit for many, many years. The hydro side, you need to exchange the specially distilled water like every 1 to 2 years. But still, working with the liquid on the immersion side can be a mess. So if you need to change something, whoever was once using an immersion mining tank or whatever knows how that is, it can be a mess. But we decided specifically for using a hydro in the mini because it should be very easy, small, easy to handle. And we are expecting the first units to deliver to the customer around July. Yeah. I don't hear you, Jesse. I think you're on mute.
Yeah, I need to unmute myself. That helps. Is it the same power output or not? Tell me more about that.
I mean, the power we control it by percentage. Maximum is this 5 kilowatt. So we can run it from approximately one up to five. Also a benefit of this, it's a two-phase miner. The right one with the Watts Miner M56, it needs 3-phase. So that can be a benefit when you install it. But yeah, in Europe, it's not a big issue because most houses it's easy to install also a 3-phase. The M54S has around 150 terahash, which is less like the M56S plus, which goes up to around with overclocking 250, normal mode around 220, something like that. We can put an M64, which also is around 200 to 220, but normally we plan to put in an M54S, and the economics are very similar in the end, but the unit is much cheaper. So our plan is to sell it for 6,921. That's what we put now on the website where we can do a pre-order, and yeah, it's like half of a Riot One with one miner. Because the right one you can run with one miner or two miners, so it's 7 to maximum of 14 kilowatt. So the 5 kilowatt solution, which is most probably not even running on 5 kilowatt if you're just using it for heat, so it's more going to be maybe around 3 kilowatt. Yeah, that's going to be a perfect solution for that. And also back to the solar topic for the people that say, okay, I want to do some Bitcoin mining with the solar power that I have. So I can use it still for my boiler water, but also use it just for Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, it's clever, man. I really like it, especially the design. I think that's going to go a long way, especially if you're sort of talking to retail. Milestones for your company, Christian, before we close out and I give you the last word, what is sort of the milestones for this year besides the Riot Mini?
The milestone, very important for us now, is sales, definitely, because we have investors on board almost since day one. They, of course, have some expectations. We had development time. We were delayed on development time. So now it's the fully full focus is on sales. So we want to sell the 100 units this year. We are at around 30 units now. So we are on track for that, which I'm really happy about. The second milestone is the control system. It needs a lot of time, a lot of money to invest into the control system. But we were talking about solar system, heating, and all this topic. Building the app. At the moment, it's a web app our customers have. It's very MVP, to be honest, still. But they see the electricity they use. They see the heat they get out. They see the sets they generate. So it works, but we want to build that into an app. Of course, we want to push the Riot Mini as well, the whole solar topic. So we are changing now the story. We're getting into summer now in Europe, right? And people are talking about heating in winter, even though they should actually plan the heating system in summer. So we are now also changing a bit the story in this surplus energy from solar power. So building that topic there. And we are also a milestone now for us, or a big plan for us this year is to go to no corner events, like events where you go to buy your solar system, your heating system, your swimming pool, just to try out how is it there. Because as I mentioned in the beginning, our main customers are still not the plebs. They are the innovators. So that's also why we are just visiting like 2 or 3 Bitcoin events this year, and also mainly going to other events and just find out how it works there. And yeah, with this, building the base for next year to really scale up the whole topic, bring more people to Bitcoin, bring more people to heating with Bitcoin. And we have a lot to do. It's still a big challenge. It's still a big risk. We are a startup, but yeah, it's a lot of fun at the same time. So we're really happy about that.
Christian, perfect. I'm going to give you the last word. I want to thank you for coming on and finally doing this. I hope listeners learned something, got some insights. Thank you very much for listening. I'll hear or see you next time. Christian, you have the last word. Tell people where to find you.
Yeah, we are. You find us on our website, of course, riot.com. Instead of an E, it's like RY3T.com. Check out our website. And my last word is actually, I want to thank you, Jesse, for the work that you do, because for us it's very important that we have these possibilities to speak in front of the camera and in front of a community, no matter how big or small or whatever it is. I really appreciate that and all the work that you do also for the community and for us as a startup. Thank you very much.